Hey everyone, welcome back to another edition of the Dental Assistant Nation podcast. My name is Kevin Heary, founder of the Dental Assistant Nation, and honored to say that I'm a friend and a colleague of this gentleman who is a return guest, and I know one of your favorite guests here on DA Nation, and that is America's pharmacology expert, Tom Viola. Tom, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good, Kevin. How are you doing? All right,
good. Brother, hey, before we go into our topic today, I just want to say, you know, congratulations to you, because I'm also the editor-in-chief for Dr. Bicuspid. I was thrilled that you won the Dental Educator of the Year Award, and this was something that was voted on by peers. It's not like something, you know, I just picked a name out of a hat, or I said, hey, Tom's my friend, he deserves this. Your peers voted you as the Dental Educator of the Year, so congratulations to you, brother.
Well, hey, listen, Kevin, thank you so much. First of all, thank you to Dr. Bicuspid for the opportunity to win, I think, one of the most prestigious awards we have in dentistry. It came as a great surprise to me. I am humbled and honored to be a part of it and to have won the award. But also, thank you to all the people who voted for me. I mean, I can't thank you enough for all the shout outs and the, hey, we voted for you, as that I got on my social media and on Facebook and Instagram. So all I can say is I felt much love, and I really appreciate it. It's good to feel that sense of reward and that sense of accomplishment. But also, it's also good to feel that sense of people really appreciate what you do, you know, because, you know, as a speaker, sometimes you don't get that. You're up there on stage, you're talking, you know, the audience is listening to you, but you wonder if you've had an impact. And this kind of proved to me that I did have that impact. And what can I say? I love everybody who really voted for me and took the time, and I certainly appreciate it.
Well, you know, I saw you at Chicago Midwinter. I know you had packed houses for your lectures at Chicago Midwinter. Not a surprise at all, because you are a wanted man when you're on the road, brother. I know that. So I just tell our listeners, I want to go into Tom Viola a little bit today. Yeah, tell our listeners, what were you speaking on at Chicago Midwinter? And then I want to pick your brain about some of the things that you actually teach and maybe some of those misconceptions you have to deconstruct while you're up on the podium.
Oh, listen, there's a lot of controversy out there, buddy, in dentistry and in dental pharmacology. A lot of people say to me, how can there be any controversy in dental pharmacology? Who even cares about dental pharmacology? But believe it or not, pharmacology is becoming more and more of an issue and more of an important subject, an important topic, because our patients are becoming more medically complex every day. The two courses that I offered at Chicago are good representations or good examples of misconceptions. One of them was, of course, antibiotic prophylaxis. You know, that is controversial. You know, should you prophylax for infective endocarditis? Should you not prophylax? Should you prophylax for late prosthetic joint infections? Should you not? Is it even a thing? Do invasive dental procedures and extractions really cause infective endocarditis? Did it even cause bacteremia? You know, and the same thing, can we really attribute every case of a late prosthetic joint infection to Streveridans, or is it really just staph? You know, and so, you know, where did the genesis for that infection come from? So it's very controversial. Up until a couple of years ago, we didn't even have any proof that prophylaxis did anything, worked at all. Now we've got some good studies out there, good data to support what? That infective endocarditis prophylaxis really does work, that there's scientific basis for it. And we have information that supports not prophylaxing for late prosthetic joint infections, because there's really no evidence to suggest that it does anything or that it does work. And yet, you know, you got docs out there who say, give that patient antibiotics for the rest of their life and their kid's life too. You know, like, when does it end? That's what. Yeah. So,
one thing I've always appreciated and admired about you is that you trust the science. You know, what you talk about is science-based. It's not, you know, out of the blue or whatever it might be. And I think that's so important today with what we see on social media, with people putting things in Facebook groups saying this is the way it should be and then being debunked. You know, like you said, our patients are very aware of what's going on around them, and they come into the practice so often with these preconceived notions that sometimes assistants and the rest of the team have to deconstruct.
100% right, my friend. And that goes for things like late prosthetic joint infection, especially because, look, I'll be the first one to tell you, if I got a joint replaced and I went through that horrific experience, you know, months, you know, rehab, and if someone told me there was even the slightest chance that I would have to get that whole process redone because I went for a cleaning or went for an extraction, and the dentist or the hygienist didn't recommend that I take prophylaxis, antibiotic prophylaxis. I mean, I would be human, first of all, and I would make sure I got that amoxicillin from my kid's pediatrician if I had to. You know, I ain't going through that again. So I totally get why it's controversial, because we are in the middle. You know, we've got medical doctors telling us yes, we've got patients telling us yes, and yet we're supposed to be stewards. You know, we're supposed to avoid overutilization of antibiotics because of the potential for, you know, resistance.
So tell me about that second topic that you talked about in Chicago as well.
The second one was self-medication. And that's another topic and another controversial issue in not just medicine, but also, of course, in dentistry. Because patients do self-medicate. Now, people say, what do you mean they self-medicate? I mean, they go to the Walgreens or the Rite Aid and they buy stuff over the counter. I wish it was that easy. You know, patients are self-medicating with prescription drugs. Where do they get them? Well, all I have, well, one-word answer for that question, Ozempic, okay? I mean, there are a lot of diabetics out there that take Ozempic, and there are a lot of other people that take Ozempic that are not diabetic. Now, so where do they get it from? You know, okay, well, they really got Wegovy, which is the other version of semaglutide for weight loss. But not everybody's taking Wegovy. A lot of people are taking Ozempic. So where do they get it from? Did the doctor prescribe it for them? Did they buy a black market? And yes, I will tell you that there's now, just recently, a lot of counterfeit Ozempic on the market. So you've got that drug. But you've got a whole host of other drugs that people self-medicate with. You know, erectile dysfunction medications, because people don't want to talk about them necessarily. Drugs for urinary incontinence. People don't want to talk about them necessarily, right? And then you've got even cholesterol medications. You know, some people dose themselves with cholesterol medications that they got from their neighbor or whatever, because they just want to be able to say, well, I'm not eating the best I could eat, but if I take this drug, I'm sort of, you know, it's sort of like a, okay, well, I love French fries, but if I take a Lipitor, it offsets. You know, there's no offsets, okay? And then I get into, you know, over-the-counter drugs too, and why people sometimes self-medicate, but sometimes they also use these licit OTC drugs illicitly. So they take Imodium to get high. How do you take Imodium and get high? You get high on poopy medicine? Yeah, Imodium is an opioid, right? So in high enough doses, you can get an opioid-like effect. And then they talk about, cannabis and all of that controversy, and then dietary supplements as well.
So I want to encourage our listeners, go back and find the episode where Tom and I talked about Ozempic and everything that goes along with that, because it's fascinating to me. You know, you talked about the bad breath and the things that go along with Ozempic that I had never really thought about as being a side effect per se. But I want to ask you, with all this self-medicating and everything else that's going on, is it simply a ripple effect from Dr. Google being there and people looking things up and trying to figure out their own path? Or where is all this self-medicating coming from in
today's age? It's definitely Dr. Google. And I don't mean to pick on the people at Google. I'm just saying that's just a colloquial term we all use. You know, people like to self-diagnose. They like to, you know, figure out what's going on for themselves. And let's face it, they have access. They have access to medications. They have access to, you know, over-the-counter drugs. They have access to dietary supplements. Heck, you know, you and I both know, Kevin, you can go online right now, you know, in some of these online pharmacies and get a doctor prescribe almost anything for you, you know, or online. But the other thing is, of course, there's a lot more information out there that's not Dr. Google, that's colloquial, that's spread from patient to patient. Hey, I'm doing this and you should try it too, you know, so that. And then there's direct-to-consumer advertising. If you watch TV now, you can't watch TV for an hour without seeing two or three commercials for medications. It's almost, you know, the most likely commercial you're going to see is for an immunologic, you know, something for psoriasis, psoriatic arthritis, you know, rheumatoid arthritis. It's rare to see a commercial for laundry detergent anymore. Yeah. So there's a lot of that as well. Yeah.
So how do our dental assistants that are listening to this, how do we combat that in the practice? Is it trying to educate the patient? Is it really trying to get them to actually fill out something correctly on health history? What do you suggest in your topics is the best way to get the dental team to really get to the bottom of the matter like this?
Well, you know, I've got the honor and privilege of teaching dental assistants pharmacology in one of the 15 schools where I teach, Kevin, and it's a great joy to me because these assistants are just starting out. They're brand new, and I tell them, you know, you are the front door of the office. You know, you're the first person that a patient comes in contact with. You lead them to the office, you lead them to the procedure, and you wish them goodbye at the end, right? You're with them 100%. You're the liaison. But with that comes the responsibility of also knowing that patients aren't always their best reporters of their own medical history. So that's why you've got to be an expert in medical histories to be able to ask them the right questions. And if you want to be valuable, you want to be dangerously valuable, as I like to say to my assistants, you know, to your dentist and your office, be the person that starts the medical history process. Start asking the questions. Start getting the information down. The hygienist and the dentist are going to love you for it because you're doing some of the work for them. And why not? You know, people are disarmed around a dental assistant. They don't seem as intimidating as a hygienist or a dentist would be. So there's your opportunity. You know, be valuable. Be dangerously valuable.
Is there any way that we can get patients to admit the ED drugs, the Ozempic, the, you know, the cannabis sometimes even? I mean, is there anything that we can do to, like you said, knock down those walls, or is it just being one-on-one?
It's all about the dead air. And I say this and people have no idea what I'm talking about, but I've learned over the course of time, you have to give people space to speak. So I don't ask them, what drugs do you take? I don't ask them, what medications do you take? I say, what do you take? And I just stop talking and I leave the dead air. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. But then they start talking. And that's when you start writing, right? And then that way they don't feel so, you know, well, by the way, I take this. And you're not leading them. Like if you were to say to me, do you take any drugs for erectile dysfunction? I may not be anxious to answer that question. But if you let me say it on my own terms, then I might be willing to.
And is it a matter of, you know, after you get this health history, the assistance, how important is it to make sure everybody understands before anything happens? Is it just that simple communication, or is it enough that it's in the chart and we just go forward in the practice?
I couldn't have asked a better question, my friend. So you write all this information down, and it's worthless if nobody reads it, right? And sometimes in a hectic office, busy office, you know, the hygienist is running in and out, the dentist is running in and out. Again, you want to be dangerously valuable to your dentist or hygienist, whisper in their ear as you're passing them in the doorway, by the way, you know, take a look at this, or by the way, you know, much like hygienists do with dentists, you know, hey, I was doing this and I noticed that 15 looks kind of, you know, like that's the kind of stuff that makes you valuable to your team because there's going to be a time when you're not there and you've given them all that advice and all that information and they're going to be like, where's Mary today? Why isn't Mary on today? You know, I could really... That's when you know you've become valuable to the team, when they actually miss you because you've given them the kind of information that they don't have to sit there and read the chart. They can, you know, get it from you directly. They can look it over real quick. And everyone looks, you know, as they say, you know, as you often say, Kevin, you know, a rising tide raises all boats, right? So here you go. So be valuable to your team and help everyone rise to the occasion. And I think that's the best part about being an assistant because you've got that ability. You've got that, you know, you have that chance, maybe a rare chance, but you have that chance to really interact with that patient and disarm them and get the information you need.
So I know there are doctors who listen to this podcast. I can tell you there are. And my best piece of advice, and Tom, I want your word on this as well, is if your assistants aren't doing this, encourage them. Make sure that they have the freedom to feel like that they can share that health history with you. Again, that rising tide lifts all boats, so everybody's on the same page.
Couldn't have said it better, Kevin. You know, look, dental assistants sometimes get a bad rap because, you know, in some states, they don't even require any formal training. They, you know, they could be, you know, one day working in Target and the next day they're a dental assistant in a dental office. But this is where I think the dentists have to say, this is a valuable resource. I'm not just paying this patient to walk, dental assistant to walk patients through the office and sit them in chairs and get them prepped. This is an untapped resource for me to really train them in what I think I need them to do in every appointment. Start the ball rolling with a few questions about the medical history. Or, you know what, the dentist will be in soon. Here's what he or she's going to want to know. Make sure, you know, if, when you get this question, you answer it according to, you know, the best of your ability. You know, get the dental assistant to not just be the person that walks the patient through the office, but really preps them for what you're going to be doing at that during that appointment. And I think if that's that's the bare minimum. Now, as an assistant, I think you step up from there and say, okay, my doc empowered me to do this, Now I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go even farther and be even more valuable. And again, rising tide, right? All works.
Well, we're recording this during Dental Assistance Recognition Week, but you know, Tom, I'm taking a twist on it that not only should we be recognizing dental assistants for the role they play, but dental assistants should also be recognizing how important they are and really have this week be that aha moment. Is like you said, empower and take that next step. You know, whenever you know that somebody believes in you, take that next step and don't just pat yourself on the back.
And it's not going to be easy. Look, I'm the first one to say stuff like this, and I'm sure people sometimes roll their eyes and say, yeah, well, you know, when's the last time you worked in an office? And, you know, it's not that easy in my office. But you see, that's because we've always done it this way, you know, thing. And you've got to break that mold and say, no, we don't always have to do it that way. I'm going to stand out and be different. And it's going to be tough at first because everyone's going to want you to fall in line and fall in place and do what every other dental assistant did. But now that you're standing up and standing out, it'll take some time. But then eventually people are going to start to say, wow, you know what? I really admire that person. They really took the initiative and they're doing a better job than I ever thought anyone in that position could do. And again, that's when you become dangerously valuable, right?
Well, I know you're dangerously valuable because, you know, I know our readers and our listeners love hearing what Tom Viola has to say. Another reason why you're the Dental Educator of the Year, but Tom, make sure people know how to find you. And hey, where are you going to be coming up speaking? I'd love for our listeners to kind of be on the lookout.
Hey, buddy, you're the one that's dangerously valuable. Look at all you've done for dentistry, man. Raising the dental assistants, raising hygienists, raising dentists. I mean, you've done it all, my friend. And as the editor-in-chief of Dr. Bicuspid, you know, you're kicking some dentistry butt, my friend. So I appreciate everything you do. So thank you for what you do. And thank you again for the award, buddy. It means a lot, especially coming from you. You're a friend, you're a buddy, and you know, I consider you one of the people I'm closest to in dentistry, and coming from you, it meant a lot. So thank you for that. And if anybody wants to see me, they can find me at California Dental Association is going to be next for me. I've got a bunch of regional meetings. I've got RDH under one roof coming up, AGD, ADA. Yeah, I'll make the rounds as usual, but, you know, I'm punching my ticket already.
It's a very good thing. And I will tell you, I love following you on Instagram as well. So I want to make sure people know social-wise where you're at. And because always some good stuff on there too, brother.
Yeah, buddy. So I'm a simple-minded man. So my website is named after me, TomViola.com, because you can't get any more simple-minded than that. But since my daughter ran my social media for a while, well, then it's Pharmacology Declassified, because I wanted to type as many letters as humanly possible to find me. No, because that's the name of the company. So...
Tom, as always, man, appreciate you sharing your knowledge with our listeners and our viewers, and it means a lot. And I cannot wait to see worst case I'll see you in Anaheim. I'm looking forward to that.
Looking forward to it, my friend, very much so. And thank you so much for all you do, my friend. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Right back at you. And thanks to all of you Dental Assistant Nation listeners for what you do every day. Hey, we may be past Dental Assistant Recognition Week, but it doesn't mean we're going to stop thanking you and recognizing the important role you play here at the Dental Assistant Nation podcast. Until next time, Kevin Henry, the host, founder of Dental Assistant Nation, signing off and wishing you nothing but success ahead.